Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And so I just think that run game in this league, in this conference, is going to be dominant.
Yeah, absolutely right.
So long as all three of them are healthy.
So, look, I have no problem with the rankings as they are today from Jonah Dillon.
No, I like seeing Memphis 1. I think South Florida has accomplished more so far.
Yeah.
It's part of the reason why they got so many more votes in the AP poll. But I'm not saying Jonah's wrong here for putting Memphis 1. That was a great win over Arkansas.
Yep. So, anyway, there you have it from Jonah at the – commercial appeal. We'll see how it all shakes out this weekend. We'll come back. Drew Hill's going to join us. He covers the Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian. We'll talk to him, obviously, about Media Day coming up, the Grizzlies, the rankings, lots more to get to. Stick around. Jason and John, how do you turn to FM, ESPN?
Get over to Sonic. It's America's Drive-In. Man, I love Sonic. You're going to love Sonic, too, because right now you can buy one double Sonic Smasher, get one free, limited time only. You need to download the app. Take advantage of all the sweet treats at Sonic. I always get the grilled cheese. It's what I do, man. But the premium chicken bites are delicious. Lots of different options on the Sonic menu for you, for the family. It's America's Drive-In. Get over to Sonic today.
One of the sweet treats you might be paying $7 for, those fancy coffees that got the sweet stuff in them. Sonic's not doing you that way. $2.99 for salty caramel toffee iced coffee with cold foam, salty caramel drizzle, and crunchy toffee pieces. Nice and sweet. And really nice at $2.99. John said the key, you got to download the app to take advantage of all that Sonic has to offer. And when you do, you're going to get that free Sonic Smasher with the purchase of one. Who couldn't use two? Two hand-smashed Angus beef patties served hot off the grill, just like you like them. Come and get it over at Sonic. Live free. Eat Sonic.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, Audition FM, ESPN. I hesitated to bring this up, but, you know, I'm going to bring it up because it means something to me, damn it. It's real to me, damn it. The Grizzlies are bringing back the classic unis, all right? It's the black joints. The black, teal, and red classic jerseys that say Memphis across the front and have that classic Grizz logo. It was the first uniform they wore when they moved here to Memphis in 2001. They announced it today. With Jaren Jackson Jr. and Jalen Wells. They did last wear these in 2020, 2021 when they celebrated the team's 20th anniversary, and they're bringing them back. They're bringing them back this year, and, you know, I, for one, think you need to get excited about it. I think this needs to be the biggest part of your day. It's like takes you back to 2001 when they got here, you know?
Yeah.
You were the
just what I want.
You were the managing editor at the Daily Helmsman. And the Grizzlies moved to Memphis, and that's where it transports you.
It's probably Sports Center.
Sports Center 2001. My bad. You hadn't quite got there yet.
But
I mean, these are the hardest. You know, you like the ones now. You were a big fan of the ones now.
I don't care.
So they could just be out there in a thong. You don't care.
As long as Ja's out there for 65 of them.
If he's in a loincloth.
Seriously. I am Jeff Calkins on this.
You're Jeff Calkins on this.
I've become too old to care about the uniform. Now, I do have an 11-year-old, and we have Grizzlies jerseys.
That's right.
And I say, Chris, which one do you like?
Right. And which one does he pick?
I don't. The last one he got was this black jaw a couple of years ago.
Like with
the M and the mount. Yeah.
Yeah.
The black is cool. But I let him pick because I don't say that's the coolest looking jersey.
Right.
I don't care. Well, the kids care.
Well, I'm more of a kid.
And here's the deal. And this is why it matters, though. The kids care and they ask us to buy it.
That's right.
So that's why it's more Chris's opinion that I care about, right? Because in the end, I'm gonna have to buy what he wants.
Yes,
it's not my view of the uniform. If that makes sense.
Well, I love uniforms. I love uniforms.
I'll let y'all tell me what looks good.
Like Thursday Night Football tomorrow, they're debuting the rivalry unis.
Now that I've heard about when Miami's in black ones. I am weirdly excited about that. Aren't they?
Yes.
That's what I heard. They were black, and me and Chris were imagining a little bit of orange, a little bit of teal, and the colors.
Yeah.
Do you have it in front of you or something?
Yeah.
Looks like you're looking at it.
Yeah. I mean, it's exactly what you remember.
No. I'm talking about those Miami Dolphins ones that they're doing tomorrow night. Yeah, I heard that everybody says these are unbelievable.
Yeah, I haven't seen the Miami ones.
Yes. But this is just a throwback. It's great.
I'm sure, that was, like, cool to me. Like, every time you went to a Grizzlies game, you didn't know what uniform you were getting. You didn't know what the court would, it was always different. I like that.
I'm on the completely different side. Give me the uniformity. Give me the same thing every time.
See.
Or at least don't overwhelm me with new things every time.
Well, it's not, you don't need to be overwhelmed, all
that's
right?
Where I'm coming in. I'm too old for this kind of talk.
I get it. You just want missionary every time. And it's like, let's switch it up every now and then, man.
Don't have Vancouver on there. That's my only thing.
No, it's gonna say Memphis.
Like you, exactly.
It's gonna say Memphis. I agree with that.
I don't even need the throwback. Maybe
no,
I'm one
because like they would do. They had the Vancouver joints, and I was.
Oh, I remember.
I don't do the Vancouver.
I don't need to see it.
Yeah, but I do think like at some point, man, you need to spice it up. You know.
No, what I care about are the important things. Like when does Zach Edey get back?
Yeah, you can worry about more than one thing at once.
What has Ja done in terms of this offseason, if there's anything he can do in terms of making sure he's going to be on the floor?
Yeah.
Right, have you added some weight? Have you gotten stronger?
Yeah.
Those are the off-season media type day questions. We'll come in there talking about.
That's why the show works.
And you could have the best looking uniforms and be in the 10 spot.
That's true. But I think that if you look good, you play good. I do. I believe that. And I think these are extremely good looking jerseys. I love the color scheme. I love the fact that we're doing this again. I wish we did it more. I wish they were the permanent. Because I don't like the Beale Street blue. I don't like it. It just is flat to me. You know, this color scheme is kind of ugly because it doesn't make sense, right? Teal, red, black, like that. But that's Memphis to me. Memphis doesn't make a lot of logical sense.
My side is Memphis. I get it. I get where you're going. But I'm going to go even deeper on you. It's the Grizzlies. Is that Memphis?
Yeah.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
Oh, the Bear.
The Bear itself.
Oh, Memphis.
You've made it Memphis.
Memphis is.
We've accepted it as Memphis.
Right, right, right.
But
right.
My point, more so than uniforms, and you're talking about tied to Memphis. This feels like Memphis. Bro, the name is from Vancouver.
That is true. We never changed
the name.
Right.
You want to have a real conversation about jerseys and uniforms and everything else and making it Memphis.
Yeah.
That's more to me. And it's not something they're going to do.
No, they'll
never. We're too far in.
They'll change the name when they move, but they won't change it while they're still here.
But that would be my thing. Because you're right. I mean, there are some jerseys that we now look at more. Okay, that brings back a nostalgia of a time. Memphis Grizzlies. Hey, that's Memphis. But let's be real here. It ain't. It's the Grizzlies, bro.
Yeah.
We never changed the name to something that was Memphis.
That's right. Like, like we could go on like with cones, for all the cones we got in Memphis, that'd be good. The
potholes.
Memphis cones.
No, seriously, with our musical tradition and everything else, we could have made this much more Memphis from the get-go.
Yeah.
We're always talking about, this one makes me feel like, this jersey makes me feel like Memphis.
Yeah.
Bro, it's always going to be Vancouver because you're the Grizzlies.
No, that's true. That's true. I mean, I won't argue that. I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
Now, it's too late.
Oh, it's too late.
I'm not suggesting rebrand.
You could rebrand if you negotiate the lease and do another 30 years. You could say it's a new day. We're going to rebrand it all.
Would the NBA going to let you do that? I don't know.
I don't know.
Would they?
Do they have an attachment to the Bears, to the Grizzly Bears?
I can't think they have some personal attachment to it, but I don't know when it's so far down the line, are they going to let you change all of it? I mean, I guess that's on you.
No, it's a good question. I don't know what the precedent is for that in the NBA. But it does not have, no, it doesn't. It doesn't have any attachment. We were just so happy to get the team. We didn't care what the hell you called them.
100%.
And
is that why we kept it? But it's Vancouver. It wasn't like it was some staple in the league as it was.
Well, you don't think about Grizzly Bears. You think about Memphis, bro?
Yeah.
You never saw a Grizzly Bear on non-Kana? Mm-mm. I mean, well, you need to look harder.
What is it? Wasn't it just a black bear running around here a little while ago? Had the whole city in the tri-state area going nuts?
See?
That was a black bear.
And wouldn't you say Memphis is grizzly at times?
Yeah.
It's not bears.
Yeah, I don't think it's the kind of description we want of ourselves, especially with the...
No, you're right. We're beautifying.
With the National Guard coming.
When they get here.
Grizzly.
Well, give me a date.
I don't know, bro. That's what they tell me.
I mean, I got the
street names that are going to be at.
Well, you do?
Well, they've sent it out.
Oh, is that true? Is that
good? There's checkpoints out there. I haven't seen them yet.
Checkpoints?
Yeah, checkpoints that they're going to be at.
What are they going to do?
Just be standing there.
All right.
Like, keep folks from doing donuts. Just standing there.
All right. Well,
and other than that, yeah, clean up the blight. I mean, Paul had a list. The mayor had a list.
No, again, I'd like to push this back as far as we can, so it can coincide with, you know, Grizz and Tiger season, so we could, you know.
But don't come back to me talking about this uniform makes it feel like Memphis.
It does.
When that thing still got Grizzlies.
Well,
on.
It's just it's
all right. Like, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I mean, I definitely feel you on that. I just mean, like, you know. It's a Memphis. It's when they got here, you know. I mean, I truly love this uniform a lot, and I will be
purchasing it.
I will be purchasing something. I will be purchasing some form of. It may not be a jersey, but it'll be like a hoodie or a hat or something with this colorway. Like, you know, I just love the old logo. I mean, I wish we could go back. I think about Jay Will. I think about Powell. I think about mm-hmm. Mike. I think about. You know,
it's
James Posey.
It's the excitement that you felt. It's just like an old song that you remember from a time, and the way you felt at that time. That's what you feel here. You were so excited to have the Grizzlies in the NBA in Memphis.
Maybe I can sway you guys to feeling more Memphis vibes if I play the DNA Bluff City Black video and get you hype with Jaren and Jalen Wells.
This is only going to help Jason. Let's see if the number 31 player in the NBA can get Jason excited about the uniforms.
How dare you?
Everybody go. Where my people at?
25 seasons ago, another generation changed this city.
Getting a little Mustang.
Led by a basketball legend as their coach, they put this franchise on the map.
It was an education basketball-wise for these players of what is to be expected. I said, we're going to change this damn thing around.
They did it with a style of basketball Memphis would be known for.
When I say accountability, that's one. Come on, you got to prove it to a hard-working town.
Posey takes it off the glass.
They liked the way we were playing.
And you know they had that Memphis swag.
Jason Williams for the win! Jason! So better move again.
These threads are in this team's DNA.
It was the start of something real.
And now they're back.
You are accountable to the other four guys when you're out there. And you're representing our team, and you're representing the city.
Pretty nice
Grizzlies
piece.
Grizzlies basketball.
That's an impressive job.
Training camp starts next week in Nashville.
So they went and got Hubie.
This is.
Yep.
I couldn't
they got
see
Hubie.
It, but
that was
like,
Hubie.
They went and did extra work.
They did Hubie. They had Poyer on some of those early calls.
Yeah.
They had Jerry West in the video. Smurl Miles Swift, you heard in there. Jay Will. So they're going harkening back to 25 years ago and a nice piece of production.
I just like this. Like, you know, this is so Memphis. And then at the end of it, you hear Hasseltine saying, next week, training camp kicks off in Nashville.
Oh, wow. At Belmont. Yep.
No, he didn't say that. But if he was on it, he would say that, because you know you got to get excited. You got to get excited. No, I mean it's I had like the you know HBCU band. But no, Jason went to Tennessee State and he is not moved by the music. He is not.
I thought it was great. As Brad said, a great piece of production. I like they would. It sounded like that was new Hubie audio. Was that old?
Yeah, it was.
Hubie?
It looks like they got
so
him aside.
Yeah. To do this freaking uniform release, you thought outside the box and you went and got Hubie.
Yeah.
You put in the extra.
I mean,
work.
I would have liked to, nice. You know, give me some Eddie Jones. Give me some, you know.
They've got video of him.
Shane Battier.
He's in there, too. And your boy is in there.
Yeah, Mike? We don't need to talk to all of them. Yeah. This is a new uniform announcement or throwback uniform announcement.
Absolutely.
Go and get Hubie was good enough.
It's good. It's really good stuff.
Bluff City Black.
Bluff City Black is what they're calling it.
I'm more into it. I'm looking more forward to it because of the hype.
Yeah, it's fat. I like that song.
I'm gonna get Jason a tuba.
No, that's Jeff. Yeah, the instruments to him.
Drew Hill's gonna join us on the other side. We'll talk to him about the Grizzlies, about training camp, about media day on Monday, and more. Wait, one more time. Ready?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I actually feel like, I think most people know, especially if they listen to the show by now. I mean, I've had just a crazy summer, you know. We moved into a new house. I've been getting the house ready to bring baby home. I've been doing daycare tours, like, all over the last 2 weeks, trying to find where I'm going to do childcare, which, by the way, is also going to make me poor, because childcare is wildly expensive in this city. Yep. Yeah. And I think all over this country, childcare is very expensive.
Yeah, everywhere, not just Memphis, everywhere.
Yeah. So to make a long story short here, I just feel like my summer's been consumed with so much other stuff. I know my lifestyle is going to change quite a bit when I have a kid. But a lot of people tell you that the preparation and all that goes into it could be almost more stressful than when you actually have the baby, because then it's all about the baby. And I'm just ready for a routine, man. Like, I'm ready to have a routine, ready to get my routine back. I haven't been writing a ton of Grizzlies stuff recently. I've mentioned it here. I'm very excited, though. I have a very big project that I think I can tease, because I think it's going to be in the next, like, week and a half that it'll be out. And involves our star point guard here in Memphis. Right. So very, very excited for this one, for people to get to read this. It's consumed a lot of my time over the last 2 months, and I'm definitely looking forward to it.
So you're having the baby girl in December, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
I assume her name would be Kari Morant Hill. Do I have that correct?
No. And I'll tell you the name. We haven't been hiding the name, but I'm not going to say it on the air.
Okay. All right. No, that's good.
I'm not going to say it on the air, but I'll tell you off air, John, if you're curious to know what the name for the baby will be. But yeah, no, December baby, which is exciting. Shout out to the Grizzlies. Our baby shower has been planned for about 2 months. And they announced yesterday that the open practice will be right in the middle of the baby shower. So that's another thing.
Wow.
Just another thing added to the list. Baby shower is obviously a little bit more important, first baby. Thankfully, we will have Chris Harrington in town to do the open practice and all that. So,
awesome.
But yeah, life is crazy. Life is crazy right now.
All right, Drew, you've done a bunch of these media days now. What do you think? Give us your guess on the question that'll be most asked, whether it's you asking it or that scrum of folks, the question that'll be most asked of the Grizzlies at media day.
It's going to be to some effect of, where do you think this team stands now, you know, in the current picture of the Western Conference? Because, you know, the story last year was really, we don't know if Memphis is this team that was second in the West, or if they were this team that had this gap year, this fall off, and maybe they had been passed up. Well, I think we learned over the course of the season they were passed up a little bit by some of these other teams in the Western Conference. Now the chase becomes, how do you get back there? I think that's where most of the questions are going to center around. So like, what's it going to take for this team to get back to contending in the West? And I think there's going to be probably a lot of questions about the new pieces and new faces, especially to Ja and Jaren. They will certainly be asked a lot about, you know, how the restructuring of the team is going to set up, you know, their style of play and what they're going to do this season.
Yeah, and obviously we won't – I mean, they can say what they say. We won't know until, we see it on the court. But I asked Jessica Benson this, and I'll ask you because he was cleared this week or this last past month. Cedric Howard and sort of his significance to all of this, everything we're talking about, everything that's going to happen for this season. I mean, they took a gamble on a young guy again. It feels like this one really needs to pay off for them on this timeline.
Yeah, I think he's important to the team. I've asked around behind the scenes on Cedric just to try to get an idea of how he's played in some of these summer runs. And all indication that I've got is that he has looked good. There's sort of been the caveat of, like, he's going to be a rookie. We don't know exactly, if he's going to pop right away. Like, he may not immediately jump into this lineup and look like he's a future star. But we think, you know, based on what we've seen, that there's still that potential, that window can be opened. I think that's all they really could have hoped for, right? You're taking a chance on a guy that was a little bit of a mystery in the draft. And so I think for a player like him, it's important to see promise. We don't have to go into the season and be like, he needs to be an immediate star. That would be an unfair expectation to place on him. But we want to see the potential for what Zach Kleiman said, a higher end outcome for this team by hitting on some of these young players. So far, everything that I've heard from behind the scenes on him has been mostly positive. So I think he's an important piece. But will he be like a star on opening night? I'm not so sure of that.
Drew, in terms of Isolo and his distribution of minutes, he's told us he will adjust if need be, but we know he'd like to play those main guys less if he can. That's certainly the way they started last year. And boy, were we all buzzing about the minutes played for Jaren Jackson Jr., for Ja Morant, seemingly low compared to the rest of the NBA stars. I'm just curious, do you think to start out, do you think this team is deep enough for Isolo to be able to pull that off this season, or that will go more to what we see, eventually, whether it's an adjustment or whatever, go more to what we see with the rest of the league where your stars are having to play, those typical minutes?
Yeah, I think that's a really great question, Jason, honestly. With Ja in particular, I think you have to feel pretty good about where the team stands from a point guard standpoint, with Ty Jerome being able to come in as a ball handler, with what Scottie Pippen's been able to do. The problem with Jaren is just that he's so versatile, and he can fit on literally, and any NBA team would love to have a player like him because he plays on both ends. He can defend multiple positions. He can play off the ball. You can give him the ball and let him go score. Like, his versatility is his biggest strength, but it's also the reason why he needs to be on the court as much as possible. And so I think maybe that's a little bit more challenging to do with a guy like Jaren. But with Ja, I feel like the depth in the backcourt, as long as they're able to stay mostly healthy, should be enough to sustain and be able to limit some minutes. And like, look, I was just as frustrated as everybody else last season when the Grizzlies weren't using their star players and they were losing close games. And it felt like if you just left them out there for an extra 4 or 5 minutes, you probably would have won. But I do think that there is some level of management that needs to exist with Ja, right? We just know he has not been able to stay on the court.
Absolutely
for
right.
A full season. Like, I'm okay with some of it, and I don't want the extreme, but with Ja in particular, I feel like we all should be okay with some of it. Like, they have got to find a way to keep him healthy going into the last half of the season and keep him on the court in general. Otherwise, you're going to end up in the same position you were last year, where you hit a point where you're sputtering because people aren't healthy and you don't have the depth to keep it up. So I think it's a little bit unique. It's different for Ja and Jaren,
yeah,
but
I agree.
I think they have enough.
We've talked about how difficult the West is. It got a little less difficult yesterday with the announcement of the torn ACL for Fred VanVleet. The Rockets were a team that, I mean, everybody loved their offseason. Most places had their offseason as the best offseason in the NBA, and now they really don't have a proven point guard. I'm not saying that you know, takes them from the two seed to the play-in or anything like that, but I do think it absolutely kind of brings them back to the pack a little bit without that. Fred VanVleet's a great player. So if you're the Grizzlies, like, does this constitute as a break? Like, is this like a break the Grizzlies are catching here with the Rockets as a team that was clearly ahead of them that, you know, may not be as ahead of them as we thought?
I guess it's a break. I mean, the Grizzlies are competing against more than just Houston, and the West race is going to be really tight. So, you know, I don't know if that's, you know, if it's going to be enough to, like, bump them up in the standings significantly. You know, Houston's just one piece, and they also have a ton of other talent, by the way. But they have a real point guard problem. Like, what the heck are they going to do at point guard without Fred VanVleet? Are they just going to give KD the ball? Like, they don't have a ton of other options. We're all waiting to see what Reed Shepard's going to do. He looked great in summer league, but he hasn't proven anything on an NBA court. I think everybody liked him as a prospect, and that potential is still there for him, but he's unproven. So I think Houston has a pretty serious backcourt problem now without Fred VanVleet as an option. They just have so much other talent around them, you know, that you just trust that they'll figure it out, whether it's they're just giving the ball to Amen Thompson and just letting him go to the basket every single time or finding different ways to play through KD. I think that they'll have the right solutions, and I trust Ime Udoka will find them. But it's not insignificant. I definitely think it may take some tinkering for the Rockets to sort of get to their best level this year, because now they don't really have any dependable players in the backcourt.
In terms of the old guard in the West, right? Which one you got the most confidence in? Is it Golden State? Is it the Lakers? And I guess that's some of the new, because you've got, you know, new body Luka. And then I'd put the Clippers in that category because they're still trying to do it, you know, with Kawhi and with James Harden. Which one of those three do you think is the, in terms of, you know, standing in the West, the real threat, a contender? If it's, maybe it's more than one for you.
I think I trust the Clippers the most of that grouping. I think Golden State has sort of slowly moved in the wrong direction over the past few years. I don't think they've made enough changes to make me feel confident that's going to change. I think that the Lakers have a chance to be good, obviously, because they have Luka, and they did add some pieces around them. I don't know how much I trust, like, that DeAndre Ayton is going to fix their center problem, yeah. But I think that they have enough star power to carry them to be in the mix in the West. So I have some faith, but I think that the Clippers, just generally speaking, were solid all of last season. They were improved from a season before. I trust Ty Lue. Like, I think he's a very good coach. I know they have a lot of distraction right now with all this Kawhi stuff going on. But I think that the Clippers probably are the most trustworthy of those three. I don't know how you guys feel.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's Clippers for me. Yeah. I'm on the same page with you.
Yeah, I mean, I want to believe in the Luka magic, but man, like, they don't have much else. I mean, that's the problem. It's like, you look at their roster, like, you're banking on DeAndre Ayton and Marcus Smart finding that again. You know, I don't know. And then LeBron's kind of checked out. I don't think it would be the Lakers. That's for damn sure. We have not talked to you about the Memphis football game. You were there. You were watching it. You were in as much shock as everybody else, it felt like, just the way that game went. What do you think of this Memphis football team, Drew Hill?
That was impressive. They made every single play they needed to make at the death. You know, it felt like the game was over four times before Memphis won. I was screaming to let them score at the end of the game, and I still don't think I was wrong in that thought. I think they got kind of lucky. It was a great play. Don't get me wrong. Like, it was a great defensive play. They created their own fate. The guy punched the ball out. But even with Arkansas having a shaky kicker, that was a chip shot, man. Like, I probably would have let them score, especially you know, with Memphis's big play ability, and they had just broken a big run right before that. I still think maybe I was right. but you know what I was laughing at was on Sunday, I was watching the Texans and Jags game, and the Texans actually did let the Jags score to get the ball back and did nothing with it. And I was like, well, you know what? The teams that actually tried to play defense towards the end of the game, they were all weekend, whether it was Memphis or it was the Browns or it was the Eagles. Every team that like just played the solid defense and just said, all right, we're going to just take our chances with a kick, and actually worked out for them. So yeah, I thought it was a great win for Memphis. I thought it was great for their program. It's definitely great for us as media in the city, because it opens up this new window to get to talk about this team as a potential college football playoff contender. I think Memphis's defensive line and their just ability to control the line of scrimmage is really going to carry them this season. And it actually gives me more confidence than maybe past years in the American that this is a team that can sort of get through the conference and win games, because I think they're going to be able to grind games out. I think the secondary is not exactly trustworthy. At one point I said, why is Arkansas even running the ball? Like every time they were throwing it, they were getting 15 yards, and then they try to run, and Memphis's defensive line was just pushing them back every single time into third and long. So I think the secondary might need a little work still, but I think that their defensive line and their ability to sort of play up front is going to ensure that they're going to, at the very least, be in every single one of these American games, and will have the chance to sort of run away from most of these teams. So I feel really good. I feel really good about the Tigers. I felt good about the Tigers going into an Arkansas game. I think I feel even better now.
Well, how you feeling about Bama? I think last time I asked you about them, you were licking your wounds after that loss to Florida State. You've won two since then. Got a big one against Georgia. How you feeling?
I'm of two minds. They've looked like a totally different team since that Florida State game.
Yeah.
Like, and Ty Simpson has been one of the most efficient quarterbacks in the country. Now, they played against two bad teams, and we saw how bad Wisconsin is. My word, they are just miserable. But I think that there's a level of confidence that exists in, like, let's be honest, Alabama is the boogeyman to Georgia. They're 9-1 against Georgia in the last 10. Like, even when Georgia is at peak form, it's been all Bama. And so I think you have to think about that as you go into this game, whether it's DeBoer or Saban. Like, DeBoer got him last year. So, that certainly makes me feel good about this game. Where I worry about the game is simply that, you know, it is in Georgia. And if you look at the home and road splits for Kalen DeBoer and this Alabama team, they have not been very good on the road. And so I think that there's the chance that, you know, you get another no-show. And if that happens, then obviously Georgia has the ability to make it ugly. But I don't think that the teams are, especially after I watched most of the Tennessee-Georgia game, like I don't think talent-wise they're too far off. I expect a competitive game as long as we get the Alabama the last 2 weeks and not the Alabama that we saw in week one.
That, I got to ask you that. I mean, that Caleb performance, was that more about, you know, Ben Johnson finally getting through and we're seeing development, or was that because you were going against a Dallas defense that might be the worst in the league? Now, which one more?
It's a little bit
more?
Of both. Okay. It's a little bit of both. But listen, like, I'm not going to sit here and apologize for Caleb Williams playing good football.
Oh, me either.
Because if you go look, like, listen, I'm going to do something that's going to sound crazy. I'm going to ignore maybe the stats that matter, which is wins and losses for a second. I, like, people tell me Jordan Love is good, and then they tell me that Caleb Williams stinks. That's what I see on the internet all the time. But if you compare the two quarterbacks, they don't look a whole lot different, you know. And I will say about Caleb, like, he has not had one of those disaster games in a while where he's throwing a bunch of interceptions, right, and, like, that's the problem.
Right.
I'm seeing growth, and I don't care if they're playing the Cowboys or someone else. That is important to this team. I think Ben's got them going in the right direction. I think that the play calling is exponentially better than it was a season ago.
Oh, yeah.
I think that it's just, it's all sort of coming into place. And just when I was about to be out on Caleb because he had a rough second half against Minnesota, I think maybe that was just Minnesota's defense really good. And I expect that he'll play well, you know, the rest of the season. I think we're going to start thinking about Caleb Williams not as somebody who's got the talent but needs to put together, but as somebody who's right there on the fringe of the top 10 quarterbacks in the league knocking on the door by the end of the year. I think that's where we'll see Caleb.
Most definitely.
That is my hope.
Hey, Drew, thanks for the time as always.
Appreciate
brother. Thank you.
Yep, thanks, guys. Yes, see bro. Ya.
Is Drew Hill covers the Grizzlies for the Daily Memphis. Media Day Monday will be out there. As a station. The station will be out there, so make sure you stay tuned for that. We'll come back, wrap this up. Jason and John, Detroit FM, ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.